You are blessed to have children here. You really are blessed, and it gives us hope for the Christian church in America. Amen. When children are raised and brought to church, even if they fuss a little bit about getting up on Sunday morning. Good morning to you, and it is a real pleasure to be back here with you. I had a great time with all of you. The last time I was here, you're so welcoming and so friendly. And when I came last time, you were just about ready to get an interim to come in, and then I understand she left to be close to family. And I'm here again, and you're getting another interim in of 2 weeks. That's hope she stays a little longer. I'll try to do what I can. But I pray for you in your search for a shepherd and for a pastor for your people, and I do appreciate that. I just wanted to catch you up real quick. I've been filling in several churches this summer, and I say retired. The conference says I'm not really retired. It's semantics. But I served at Trinity United Methodist on South Main Street for 15 years. And now I am a full-time grandmother. We have 5 grandchildren between the age of 5 and 18 months. They came along just like that. And they're a lot of fun. Our oldest, we had some trauma this year. Our oldest grandchild is 5, Owen, started kindergarten. And they live in Ephrata. So I was a little bit nervous. You know, you don't know any of the teachers down there. You're not familiar with the school and everything. And so I called him up and I said, "Oh, and how did the first day go?" He said, "Well, it was good except for the bus." And I thought, "Oh, no. A kid was rude to me, Mimi." I thought, "First day? Really? In kindergarten?" And I said, "Well, how was he rude to you?" He said, "A mean thing." My heart broke. And I said, "Well, Owen, tell me what he said." Now, I'm going to repeat what this child said, this 5-year-old, but there's a bad word in it. So I'm going to spell the bad word, okay? Don't judge me. This is coming from a 5-year-old. He said, "Mimi, this boy looked right at me and said, 'You look like you are made out of P-O-O-P. And Owen was taken aback by this, because up till now he's been told how special he is. You know, grandmas do that. And then Owen, being the assertive, young, educated individual that he is, turned to him and said, "Yeah, well, you're fired from kindergarten." And now apparently they're best friends. So, you know, we could take a lesson from a kindergarten class, couldn't we? Today I come to share with you, and I don't know how well you can see this without it falling off the pulpit, but I brought some wonderful fruit, and Jenny was right, there's wonderful fruit this time of year, and you can't beat fresh apples, and I was sad when peach season ended, but I brought a variety, and I found the best red pears. I don't know if you've ever had red pears, but these are all like beautiful specimens of fresh fruit, and we're going to refer to that a little bit in the message today. As we prepare to hear the message God has provided, which, by the way, 8:30, he still had me making adjustments, so I don't know what we're in for here, but we're going to read from the very first Psalm, if you have your Bibles or devices with you with the Bible, if you want to turn to that, Psalm 1, 1 through 6. And then in the New Testament, Paul's letter to Galatia, Galatians 5, 16 through 23, and they also are printed in your bulletin, which is a very, very nice thing. You can thank your wonderful secretary for that, and so that you can follow along. And I will be reading from the Common English Bible, which might be slightly different, but it's great for oral reading, I found, the Common English. So would you pray with me as we prepare to hear God's word today? Lord Jesus, thank you for blessing us with opening our eyes, filling our lungs with air, and coming out into the sunshine today. We thank you that we are about to be blown away by the miracle of the change of seasons as fall arrives in 24 hours. You guide the world, Lord, and we are truly grateful that you are God and we are not. Help us to act like we know that, Lord. Help us to give all glory to you and give thanks in each day as a gift that everything we have, we do, we see, we taste, we touch, we feel comes from you alone. Bless us now as we hear these holy scriptures. Open our hearts to receive them. May they settle into some soft soil in our hearts, and may they grow like a strong tree to bring us closer to you, to let God be our all in all. are everything. Lord, bless us now with your holy presence, and may I be a vessel emptied of self completely, so that I might be filled with this Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. In your name we pray. Amen. Psalm 1, first of all, verses 1 through 6. The truly happy person doesn't follow wicked advice, doesn't stand on the road of sinners, and does not sit with the disrespectful. Instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction, and they recite God's instruction day and night. They are like a tree replanted by streams of water, which bears fruit at just the right time, and whose leaves don't fade. Whatever they do succeeds. That is not true for the wicked. They are like dust or chaff that the wind blows away. And that's why the wicked will have no standing in the court of justice. Neither will sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The Lord is intimately acquainted with the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is destroyed. And then in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, which may be somewhat familiar to you, this is the fruit of the Spirit scripture, the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. I say, be guided by the Spirit, and you won't carry out your selfish desires. A person's selfish desires are set against the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is set against one's selfish desires. They're actually opposed to each other. So you shouldn't just do whatever you want to do. But if you are being led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious. They include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use, casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. I warn you, as I've already warned you, that those who do these kinds of things will not inherit God's kingdom. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified themselves with its passion and its desires. For if we live by the Holy Spirit, let's follow the Holy Spirit. Do not become arrogant or make each other angry or be jealous of each other. These are the words of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This time of year is extremely busy. You're kind of in a transition. I started decorating for fall at the house the other day, and it got so hot that it didn't feel like fall anymore yesterday. So I have blue and white flowers hanging on my front door and a pumpkin on the bench right beside it. I'm in that transition time. We're transitioning back to school, back to band competitions, sporting events, fundraisers at school, things starting back up at work, meetings starting back up at the church. It's a big time of transition, not only in all these things, but into the season of fall and into a time of harvest. Things are plentiful right now. The fruit of the harvest that we get, though, has to be seen as a reward, because there is a lot of hard work that goes into producing Gala apples and Honeycrisp apples and those fresh peaches we enjoyed and the corn on the cob we're enjoying. There's a lot of hard work. There's diligence. There's preparing the soil way back when it was still icy cold out. There's planting to be done. There's weeding to be done. There's cultivating, watering, and waiting before a yield of fruit is waiting to be enjoyed. And there's no shortcuts to the good fruit. The grower is focused on all of these steps and work. There's no other way to say it. It's work, and it's all necessary to get good fruit. But I say, thank goodness for farmers markets, for if it were not for farmers markets, I wouldn't have any of this good fruit. We live at a place that's all shade. So I can't grow anything except the occasional impatience flower and a lot of weeds. So we thank the farmers and the growers for their skill and their perseverance and their sweat and the backbreaking work that they do so that I can just go and purchase the fresh produce and enjoy it. Some might say I'm taking advantage of low-hanging fruit. I just go and pick it up and take it home and enjoy it. I take the easy way out. In fact, you know, it's a law of nature that we like to take the easy way out. And it's not just humans that do that. Animals do that. Plants do that. You make the very best soil for a flower bed, and which one wins out, the weeds or the flowers? It's a constant battle. We like to go the easy way out. Animals do it too. Plants, you know, I always admire the plant that's willing to come up among the stones or up through the concrete. How do they do that? And it's almost like they're being rebellious, but they're willing to put in the work. But I found animals do that too. We were down at my son's house, the one that has Owen riding the bus with the rude boy, and he still had a suet feeder out for the birds in July. And I said, boy, Dan, I'm really, really surprised that the birds will come to that suet feeder. There's all kinds of blossoms and insects and seeds out all over the place. Why do they come to the suet feeder? He said, that's low-hanging fruit. There's no competition. It's high up where it's safe. It's pretty yummy stuff, all fat, you know, with some seeds and berries in it. He said, they go for the low-hanging fruit. We do the same thing. And the minute he said that, I thought, that'll preach. That will preach. Going after the low-hanging fruit might be the easiest way out, but it almost borders on the rebellious. It almost borders on the, if I don't have to work, I won't. And then that seeps into every phase of our life. Psalm 1 tells us that scorners, sinners, and the ungodly cannot yield good fruit. In fact, they are the waste, the chaff that is simply blown away. However, that's not enough to sit with people and have them say, oh, I better get to work on my spiritual well-being, because many will say, well, that may be, and the waste is somewhere in the future, and I might be blown away, but for now, I'm pretty comfortable right where I am. Now, I may not delight in God's law, and I may do the occasional evil thing, but hey, I'm having a good time. And I'm comfortable. I'm successful. People know my name. Why, I dare say I'm even happy. I'm good with my life. I don't want my sins. I don't want my evil deeds and my bad thoughts brought into the light. Do you hear the word? Excuse me, the words we're focusing on? I and my. You see, that requires a lot of change. That requires giving up control. And that's one that God works on me a lot. But we need to give up control, or at least the control we think we have over our own lives. But what is the fun in that? It's too much work. The way of sinners is taking the path of least resistance, which is the way of our own will, the way of our wants, instead of God's will. Our youngest son recently applied for a new job that would mean a promotion and a raise, and as he called it, his dream job. I'm thinking, you're 28, you don't know what a dream job is yet. You just gotta work, boy. You got school loans. But he said, I want you to know that I really, really want this job. And I said, well, I will be praying for you. He said, pray that God gives me this job. And I went, I'm not gonna do that. And he said, why not? I said, because God already knows what's best for you, and I want to pray that God will do what is best for you, and that if you don't get this job, God will help you to deal with the disappointment, and you will turn to God and see what God's true will is for you, even though you think it's the dream job. He just looked at me and said, are you kidding me? See, he wants to go after the low-hanging fruit. It's what looks good to him right now. We take the path of our own will and wants instead of God's will. And the wrong path leads us to becoming lost. And when we are lost, evil enters. It happened with Aaron. When he was leading the Israelites, he listened to what the people wanted instead of what the Lord told him to do and did what they wanted to do. Moses was told not to touch the rock, not to strike the rock, but he was angry and he did it anyway. And then there was David. All he did was look, at first, at Bathsheba. See, when we let our guard down and we go after our own will and wants, we get lost and evil enters. But no matter what we do, God remains faithful and God remains in everything. And everything is God and everything is in God. God is the source of all being. Truthfully, God is all powerful. God is God, omnipotent, omniscient. He is everywhere and knows everything. But you know what he still chooses to do? God still chooses, no matter what, to say, I love you. I need you. I need people. And I want you to know that, and I want you to be reassured of that. God chooses to love us so much that we can't even imagine the depth of it. To include us in his work in the world, God chooses us. You know, truth be told, we can't even be good humans by ourselves. We need God's instruction, and God chooses to stay by our side. So whenever we feel like God is far away, it's not because God has moved. We are the ones that have moved, and it's time to come back and do the hard work again. You see, we are never out of grace. We are never outside of God's grace, and God's reach is so far that we can never go beyond the extension. He has chosen to include us, and so we are to choose God as our foremost relationship, and then also choose to be in relationship with others, to teach others about what we found. We don't want waste. We don't want chaff blowing away in the wind. So since we have this bottomless grace from God, we don't gobble it all up and say, goody, goody, look where I am. I'm right with God. I'm good to go over here and sit back and relax. You know, that's the thing about staying away from low-hanging fruit. It just is the beginning of work. You turn and you look with the eyes of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, and you find others, anyone at all, and say, look at this. Look at this delicious fruit that comes only because God loves us. Only because Jesus sent his son to die for you. Don't you want some? Don't you want some of this delicious fruit that only comes from our Lord? And don't give up. Don't give up. It's not the tempting that Adam and Eve went through in the garden. This is the fruit of righteousness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit that God gifts us with. Jesus has connected us to the one great God, and God wants us all to be filled and to fed. It is better, far better, than worrying about how our body looks or what TV show is on or what you like or the selfies we need to take or that trip we want to take or that very thing you can't live without when you got to admit it's pretty nasty anyway, because you're putting it over God. God has prepared us and created us to be attracted to him, to love only him, and to love each other. And God loved us so much to learn that he sent his own son Jesus, not only the best news ever, to die for our sins, but also to show us how to be in relationship with one another and to learn to be like God. So that when we do go to heaven, Jesus will take us and present us before that throne and say, this is the one I was telling you about. This one's one of our chosen ones, the one who chose the good fruit. And if that wasn't enough, then we have the Holy Scriptures. And you can even get the Holy Scriptures on your phone now. There's nowhere we can get away from God anymore. We have a direct line. And if all that fails, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work inside of us, telling us, like, are you sure you really want to do that? Or something happens and you say, yeah, that was God. That wasn't a coincidence. That was God. And then rather thinking, look what I did, we could say, look what God did. Praise be to God and seek God in all we do. We harvest the best fruit that way because we accept Christ We accept ourselves and we accept others in his holy name. By no means, none of this is low-hanging fruit, because you have to work for it. You have to put yourselves aside, your wants aside, what you think is important aside, and go all in for the Lord. This world has plenty of low-hanging fruit to tempt us. There's a lot of easy ways to get things done, and it is very attractive. And it is very easy to be drawn into the waste pile. And it might even be deceptively disguised as something that will make you feel good about yourself. Or it looks mighty tasty, but that's not what God created us for. Not the earthly things. God created us to be heavenly beings for him. So we may have to sweat, and we may have to climb, and we may have to fight those annoyances that that person at work is to us. We may even have to tell our fellow kindergartner that he is fired for being so rude. We might even, in our work, as we try to share the love of God, have to carry someone the whole way through it without giving up. Without giving up till we get to the highest mountain peak, to lead us to the best fruit that there is, the fruit of the Spirit we read about in Galatians. Love, the agape love, the love that teaches us acceptance. It's unconditional. Joy, not happiness, joy. Joy is not based on whatever circumstance you're in or what the weather's like or if you got that job you wanted. Joy is knowing God is in control, which gives you the next fruit automatically, peace. Isn't peace wonderful? And then there's patience. And you cringe a little bit. You think, I don't want to pray for patience, because you have to learn how to be patient. But it's the same kind of patience that God used on the Israelites in the desert. And if it takes 40 years, it takes 40 years. In order for us to live the way God has called us. Goodness is another fruit where we are aligned with Christ and walking in his example. Faithfulness, following no one but the one true God. Gentleness, to make us approachable, to make us willing to share this good fruit and the fruit of grace. And lastly, self-control. To be able to resist that barrage of temptation that is all around us. You see, working on a harvest of the fruits of the Spirit aligns us with God alone and aligns us with God's will. It keeps us in knowing Christ Jesus very personally. It keeps us in serving Christ Jesus alone. It teaches us how to build relationships with everyone, even those annoying people, even those people that scare us a little bit, even those people that don't agree with us. It teaches us, the Holy Spirit, to build relationships. And we see, and we learn, and we enjoy, and we love, and we live just like Jesus Christ. And that is the best fruit at all. And I promise you, each and every one, my friends, that fruit will never, ever be out of your reach. Amen. Will you turn in your bulletins, please, and stand for the affirmation of faith? Join me in the traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Would you turn in your hymnals, please? These are praise choruses that are going to be on the screen. In Christ Alone, followed by the power of your love.